The reading this morning can be found on page 855 of the Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 1, reading from verses 26 to 33. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Thanks be to God.
This morning we're going to be looking at perhaps the most important female character in the whole of the Bible, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Every year we sing carols about the virgin birth, but how often do we pause and think just how amazing her story and her life really is? I wonder if you're like me when you think of Mary, that perhaps you tend to bypass her in case it's wrong to focus on her just too much. Well, I think that's wrong, actually, the more I've come to reflect, and especially myself, reflecting on my own daughter's birth 3 weeks ago, of how Mary, as Jesus' mother, nursed him, fed him, and brought him up. As I see Talita, my wife, bringing up Esther and Lydia, our youngest, and feeding her, I pause and reflect just how amazing Mary is as a woman, how strong and how courageous she is. But what is it about this girl that caused God to favor her, this young girl? How do we know that God favors us? What can Mary's story tell us and encourage us as followers of Jesus in the 21st century? Well, I think there's four things that we can note from these verses that we read this morning. I think the first thing is that Mary knew that she could not earn God's favor. The favor of God, we're told, rested upon Mary. She didn't have a choice in the matter. She had not been chosen for the task because she possessed a particular sense of piety or holiness that merited the privilege. The text doesn't suggest that there was any special worthiness on Mary's part. There's many variations of the word favor. And the angel tells Mary that she is a favored one. She's highly favored. Perhaps the most common meaning of the word favor, the literal meaning, is the word grace. It describes how we are saved and loved and embraced by God. Its definition is the acceptance of and goodness toward those who cannot earn or do not deserve such gain. In the Old Testament, finding favor in the presence of God meant that God had an attitude of kindness towards someone, that God wished to prosper them. Being highly favored, as Mary is here, highlights God's own decision to bless her, to use her for his own special purpose. Mary found favor with God. She could not earn it on her own part. She was a young girl who had found favor with God. On the outside, she perhaps was an unlikely candidate. She most likely would have been a teenager between the age of 12 and 14. Not the woman, perhaps the age of 30 or so, that we see in paintings and in statues around the world. And furthermore, Mary was born in a small rural village, Nazareth. Today, it's about the size of Perth as a city. It has about 47,000 people living in it. But at the time, it only had about 500 people living in it. If you were passing through Nazareth, it would be the type of village that you would get your petrol, maybe a wee snack, and then motor on. Nothing special about it at all. So nothing special about Mary. She's just a young girl. Nothing special about the place that she was living in. What about her husband, Joseph? Well, he was a carpenter, and he had on his CV a descendant of King David. That's perhaps the only notable thing that we can say about Joseph. And Mary herself, well, she was perhaps illiterate. Most women were illiterate in that day. Few women were formally educated. But what we do know about Mary and her story is that she was a worshiper of God. And if we continue reading through the chapter in Luke here, we find that she communicated her love through song. There's a beautiful song. If you continue reading the chapter, when you get home, it's just wonderful, her expression and her devotion of love to God. The last thing that we perhaps know about, initially, that we can know about Mary and Joseph as a couple is that they were both poor people as well. They're very poor. Luke's gospel also tells us that when they both go to the temple, they couldn't even afford a sacrifice. Under the Old Testament law, this meant that they offered a few birds. This was a provision that God enabled for those who were exceedingly poor. So how on earth can God choose to favor someone who is a young girl, young teenager, from born somewhere where there's, well, little significance, very poor, illiterate? Why would God choose this young girl? Well, because our God is a God of grace. Our God loves to pour out his grace, his favor to undeserving people. And today, if you've put your trust in Jesus as your Savior, if you're a Christian today, like Mary, you too are highly favored by God. There's no doubt in that. God chooses to bless you. You being here this morning, God chooses to pour out his grace, his favor, his love upon you, and he wants to use you for his good purpose. There's no accident that you're here this morning. You cannot doubt, and you have no reason to, that God favors you. And I know that sometimes can be quite hard to believe. As Christians, I've been there myself as a follower of Jesus. I don't feel like the favor of God is on my life. For starters, what about all those times that I've missed my Bible reading? What about all those times where I felt like just I'm not great at prayer? What about the times that I've woke up in the morning and the first thing I do is check Facebook? You know? But then God reminds me, it's not about an attitude that says, hey, if only I prayed more, if only I read my Bible more, if only I serve more, if only I give more, if only I do this and that and the next, then maybe God will favor me. Then God will bless me. Then God will love me. No, it's like Mary's attitude here. It's acknowledging that God pours out his favor to the undeserving. And it's that attitude that turns us back to God in prayer, into reading the Bible, into finding out how good and how great our God is. So that's the first thing that we can note about Mary, that she couldn't earn God's favor. The second thing that we can note is that by carrying the baby Jesus, Mary knew that there was a cost attached with God's favor. Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph are engaged to be married, and this betrothal period usually lasted about 1 year. An unfaithfulness on the part of the bride's part during this engagement was punishable by death. So here we've got this angel, Gabriel, arriving, and he says to Mary, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Another translation writes this as, "Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favor." Well, what's Mary's reaction? Well, she doesn't react very positively to this. She's rather troubled. She's bewildered. She's trying to discern what this is. She's aware of the greater sense of what was happening to her. She sensed that if this was really from God, that there was a cost that comes with it. There's a responsibility that comes with God's favor. Firstly, her reputation was now on the line. She was unmarried. She was told that she was carrying a child, even though she was a virgin. So the consequences are that perhaps her and Joseph may have to break off their engagement. They may have to go into hiding. There's a cost for both of their lives. You may have read in the newspapers this week or seen online, there was a speech given by the former Liberal Democrats leader, Tim Farron. And in the speech, he's criticizing the current wave of liberal society that we live in, this liberal elite, and how it's changing Britain in the wrong way, he says, particularly if you're a Christian and hold to traditional values. And he says, if you actively hold a faith that is more than an expression of cultural identity, you're deemed far worse than eccentric. Bible-believing Christians are seen as dangerous and offensive in modern Britain. For Tim Farron, being the leader of a political party and at the same time a Bible-believing Christian was incompatible in 21st century Britain. I wonder if Mary would have known what this felt like 2,000 years ago. Here she is with her fiancé Joseph, both of them devout followers of God, faithfully following the Old Testament laws. Here arrives this angel by the name of Gabriel to say that Mary has found favor with God. He tells her that she was miraculously would give birth to the Son of the Most High God, to Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. And she would still be a virgin. Think of the shame she'd have to endure on her part for this too. Think of what her and Joseph's reputation would become in society. Think that these ordinary people living in an ordinary village, well, these are the people that God has chosen? Really? Is that what people are going to say? Really? Come on, that's a bit much. You can't say that. You can't say that. That's outrageous. That's offensive. Who's going to believe her story? She's going to be shamed in her society. There's risk involved. There's risk attached to being a follower of Jesus, both 2,000 years ago and today. What about us? What about you? If you're a Christian here, yes, the favor of God is on your life. It's on all of our lives. But there's added responsibilities to being a follower of Jesus. How will we respond to the changing culture that we live in? Are we willing for our reputation to be questioned, for our values to be challenged? Are we willing to stick fast, to hold to what the Bible says? Or maybe you're here and you're questioning the Christian faith. You're asking questions. You're seeking about who this Jesus is. Well, Christianity is big enough for questions. If we look at after her initial fear and bewilderment of the angel, Mary's response in verse 34 is a question. But how could this happen? How could God choose me? I'm a virgin. How could this all happen? And so we see again that she looked to discern. She asked the question, looking for the reassurance. And can I just say, it's okay as Christians to ask questions of God. It's okay to look into the questions to ask of God, what are you saying in this? And if you're seeking God here this morning, it's certainly okay to ask the big questions of Christianity. Christianity can handle that. Because just like the angel's visit, just like Gabriel's visit to Zechariah and the shepherds, the angel told Mary, do not fear. Do not fear, because you found favor with God. And we read on the passage in verse 38, Mary, she humbly accepts her responsibility. She says, this is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. Gabriel, may everything you have said to me come to pass. Mary went, just a few verses before, saying, being greatly troubled, to accepting her responsibility. And this leads us to our third point. Mary had a humble, childlike faith. In verse 29, we are told that Mary was deeply troubled. by the words of Gabriel, not by his presence, which I find a bit odd. I'd be a bit, whoa, an angel in the room. But she's not troubled by that. She's troubled by his words. And I wonder why Mary felt like that. I wonder why it was his words that troubled her, not his physical presence. Well, I'd like to think that it's something to do with the fact that words sometimes carry more than deeds, more than action, more than presence. Words carry something. Now, I'm not a fan, really, of following the UK Top 40 charts, but there's a song that's recently come out by a hip-hop rapper, I'm sure you know it, a hip-hop rapper called Stormzy. And he's had an album called Gang Signs and Prayer, went straight to number one in the album charts. And he's got a song come out recently called Blinded by Your Grace, Part 2. They have to add on the Part 2, of course, being a rapper. They've got to have several parts, but it's called Blinded by Your Grace. It's currently number 8 in the UK charts, so it's receiving regular, you know, radio play on Radio 1, Radio 2. Let me read you some of the lyrics. This is in the secular UK charts. This is a rapper. I'm blinded by your grace. Lord, I've been broken. Although I'm not worthy, you fix me. I'm blinded by your grace. You came and saved me. I'm blinded by your grace. Lord, I'm broken. Although I'm not worthy, you fix me. I'm blinded by your grace. You came and saved me. Most of you are going to check that out when you get home, aren't you? Now, I'm not just quoting that to be cool or to be culturally hip or relevant. I just think it's really interesting. I think that there's something out there, there's something happening in our society that despite the changing tide, people are searching for something more. And there's something in these lyrics. And the guy, the rapper, Stormzy, he says he's a Christian. And, you know, if you listen to the album, there's some songs that are, the lyrics are more explicit than others, but the songs that have a faith meaning, there's definitely something there that's really raw. And I really like that sense of honesty and real kind of raw emotion. I think that he's saying that there's something just amazing about God's awesome grace. He's in awe of God's grace, of God's favor towards him. That although we're not worthy, that God takes us as we are. He fixes us. He pours out his favor. And he uses us for his good purposes so that we may delight in him. So why was Mary deeply troubled by the words of the angel? I think it's because she had a humble, real, honest, and raw faith. She had a childlike dependence and trust in God, that she loved God, she delighted in him. She wondered why she would be the one who God favored. This is why the angel was able to say to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." She found favor with God because she humbly followed him. She couldn't earn it, but she humbly followed and devoted herself to God. God delighted in Mary's delight in him. Or as another preacher says, God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him. It's nothing on our own part or merit, but it's God who places that desire in our hearts so that we may love him and seek him more. And lastly, what else can we say about Mary? Well, her story is important because God's favor would be for all God's people, because Jesus, the Son of the Most High, would come and declare and bring the kingdom of God. Mary's important, but Jesus is more important. Mary played a vital role in the life of Jesus, but only Jesus can save. This is why he's known as Jesus, who saves people from their sin. In verse 32, the angel tells Mary that Jesus will be great. Why? Because he's the Son of the Most High God. Because he'll reign on David's throne forever and ever. Because his reign will have no end, no limit. Because he's supreme, he's eternal. How do you know God favors you this morning? Because he sent his son Jesus, fully man, fully God, to live as the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, who would endure every pain and hardship that we go through, who would die on the cross as our substitute for the forgiveness of our sins. Our sinless Savior, He would rise again so that we would receive new life by the Holy Spirit, and that we would know communion with His Father, who's our Father. That is God's favor. That's unmerited favor. That is unconditional love. And if you're a Christian here today, please go away saying, God favors me. And if you're not a Christian here today, why? Why? Ask the question, who is this Jesus? You can't do anything to deserve God's favor. You can't do anything to earn God's favor. Receive it today for yourself, whether that's for the first time, whether that's something you need afresh. This is Christmas, the Christmas season. It's a busy time for all of us. Sometimes our spiritual life can get dry because life's busy. But let's, in this season, focus our hearts on how God favors us despite our flaws, despite our weaknesses, that, as that rapper said, that we're broken and God fixes us. So why don't we be like Mary, humble in our faith, childlike in her adoration, willing to put her reputation on the line. But in the midst of that, we look to Jesus, the one who gave it all for us, to glorify God's name and God's name alone. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that there's nothing that we can do to deserve your favor. There's nothing we can do to earn it. Thank you, Lord, for that thought. Thank you that we can never earn our way into your presence, that you so love us that you accept us as we are, and that you so love us that you refuse to leave us as we are. That better is one day in your house, in your presence, than 1,000 days anywhere else. Lord, whether we are currently in the desert place where we feel far from you, whether this is an exciting, good season, may we know the favor of God, the grace of God, the blessing and the love of God. May that be something that doesn't just stay in our own hearts, but that's something that we take so passionately to our families, to our brokenness, to our workplace, to our schools, to our universities, to our colleges, to wherever you've placed us. May we be so in awe of your grace, of your favor, that it points us back to adoration and worship, that Jesus is so all-sufficient. Lord, in this moment, we wait for you. Holy Spirit, would you work in our hearts? Would you speak to us in this quiet moment? Lord, let us leave here changed, renewed, that we would remember the verses, Romans 12:2, that we wouldn't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but that we would be transformed by the renewal of our minds. So Lord, for each and every one of us, would you renew our minds that we would know that we're loved, cherished, and favored by Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.